Thank the Lord, he ain't gonna pass me by. We'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts, chapter 7, verse 54. Acts, chapter 7, and verse 54. This right here is the first mention of Paul, the first martyr. But it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes as a young man at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight. We thank you, Father, for the ones that come out tonight, Lord. I just pray, Father, tonight, Father, something will be said or done. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you just reveal to us something from heaven tonight, afresh and new. Father, that will stir our hearts and stir our souls. And Father, that when we go out, Father, that people can look at us and say they know that they can say that there goes a Christian. And we should not have to have the Christian a hat on, and we should not have to have a t-shirt or any kind of labels on our life that's showing out, Father, that we are a Christian. It must show within our life. And Father, in our speech, as we speak to people, Father, they can experience, and Father, they can hear the sound of love from our hearts. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would help us, Father, to look at some of the things here written in these scriptures. And Father, I pray, God, tonight, that you just help us. Help Faith Baptist Church. Lord Jesus, we pray for the ones that we've spoken to outside of the church doors. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray, Almighty God, that the Holy Spirit will go right to where they're at right now, Lord. Whatever it takes, Father, for you to get their attention and to get them in church. And Father, whether the ones that's not saved, Father, that they're where they can get saved, Father, but the ones that are saved, Lord, that they can come back and they can renew their vows unto you, Father. And Father, we're going to thank you for that in ahead of time, Father, because we know, Lord, that you're going to do it, because we came and we've asked you to do these things, and we've not, and we seek. So, Father, we do thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the ones that's going to be saved this week, Father. Thank you for the ones that are going to be saved in the next few days or the next few weeks, Father. We pray, Lord Jesus, that they will get in a Bible-believing church that will preach the gospel. And Father, yes, I would love for them to come here. We all would, Father. It would be to the point where we could really rejoice in knowing, God, that you brought them here. And Father, if you bring them here, Lord God, we know that they'll stay. And Father, we know, God, Father, if we bring them, there's a good possibility that they won't stay. And Father, we do thank you for the reading of thy word tonight. Give us something tonight from heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Right here we see where the first mention of Paul, which he's called Saul at this time. But here was a man that I would love to be like. I would love to be able to strive, and I would love to be dedicated like he was. But he sold out. He sold out everything he had. He sold out his soul. He sold out everything that he had, he even sold out all the different languages that he could speak. And I believe it was 7, or maybe a little more, I don't know. But in reading Paul, you would never think that he's had any kind of education at all. But he had an education. He knew the Bible. And he knew that he could take the Bible and he could take it and twist it around to where he can make it sound like that everything's going to be okay. But that won't Paul. Paul was not going to do it that way. Paul was going to do it the way God taught him. Because when he got on the road to Damascus over in chapter 9, he got on that road there and he had papers. And you know, think about it. He had papers too that he had to carry out on his job. I can remember when I was working for Motor Parts and Equipment, and I would go out here and I would deliver the parts all around in Pennsylvania County, even go to Gretna and Isla Vista, and sometimes almost to Lynchburg. But I just didn't go there to give them the part. I had papers with me, and them papers, it was a bill, and not only that, it was an inventory of the product that the individual was going to receive. But I had a bill. I had a statement that I had to turn over to them. Paul basically had the same thing. When Paul went to work every day. He went to work every day. And he may not have to show up to the office but once a week. But when he did that, he got his orders for the whole week. And he knew what his orders was. And his orders was to go and to persecute the church. To go and persecute the Christians. We have not been persecuted. The church today has not been persecuted. The Christians has not been persecuted today like Paul was and like Paul was doing. Paul was not only persecuting the church, but I also believe too that Paul was also persecuting him on his own self. Because Paul, look at all the education he had. Don't you think Paul knew what he was doing was wrong? Yes. Yes, he knows what he was doing wrong. Like majority of the people. like every individual's outside of the church house tonight. Some claim to know the Lord as a personal Lord and Savior. Some says, well, I ain't got to go to church. I ain't got to go to church to get to heaven. I ain't got to go to church to study the Bible. No, but if you're saved, you're going to want to be in church. You're going to want to be around God's people. And the individual said, well, we can go out in the street. We can go out to the middle of the highway. I think I said this, mentioned this Sunday night. We can go out in the middle of the highway. Yeah, we sure can. Where two or three are gathered, he said that he's in the midst. But that's not all about it. It's not what that's about. And I think people has got it misunderstood. Is that he says, where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. He is. He's in the midst. But I think it's when he's speaking about when we go out and visit, when we go out and visit, or when we go to the Walmart, or when we go to the hospital, or when we go somewhere else, or go to the Sam's, or go to the doctor's office, or wherever. We do not know the people that we come in contact with. We don't know what their life is. We don't know what their condition is with the Lord. We don't know what kind of life that they're living. But I will know this. You can tell the people, and you know who they are, by the frown on their face, if they're hurting or not. And I believe a Christian that's not in God's house is hurting. They are hurting to the point that they really don't know what to do. They don't want to give in. They don't want to give in. You go to them and you talk to them and ask them and you say, we just miss you. We'd like to see you back in church. We just miss you. I do. I miss all my friends. They used to be in church at one time, but they're not there. Why? Because they done got caught up in the world. They done got caught up in all the other traditions that they got out here. They done got caught up into the easy believism. They ain't got caught up in that because they think it's easy to get to heaven. Ain't a thing easy about it at all. It's easy for us just to say yes, but it was not no easy. It wasn't easy for the Lord. Look what he done. He gave his dear soul. He gave his dear life for me. But yet, I can't go out here and I can't give him a few hours a week. When he hung above heaven and earth on the old rugged cross, and even before that, when he was tied around the post, and when they took the whip with the cat of nine tails, and they scourged his back, and they whipped him, and they whipped him, whoop! And when they whipped him like that, and they jerked it back. They didn't just whip him and let it fall to the ground. No, they whipped him and jerked it back. Why? Because at the only end of it had a cat of nine tails. It had something on it. At the end of the whip, they would grab a hold of that flesh and he would jerk it back out.
Can you imagine looking upon somebody like that? I can't. I can't imagine him going through all of that for me, for little old me. It's not even worthy of him to even look upon. I wasn't even worthy for him to even take and spit upon me if he wanted to. Why? Because I just wasn't worthy of it. But look at what he done. Look at what he done for me. Look at what he done for Paul. And look at what he done for Stephens. And look what he done for John the Baptist and all the others. He done the same thing. Everybody has to go through the Lord Jesus Christ to get to heaven. They can't get to heaven just by coming down here and saying, "Thank you, Lord. I believe in you." And then walk back out to church. Then don't ever come back no more. That's making a profession. But they don't possess it. They don't love it. I still see today, and I try to tell people that I'm talking to, I say, "You know something? What I believe, and I've seen it time and time again happen, that when we talk to someone, and if we do have the opportunity to be able to take our Bible, or what knowledge the Lord has given us, to be able to speak to them and talk to them, and then lead them to the Lord. It's not just finished when we say, you need to pray this prayer. You need to pray this sinner's prayer. And when they pray this sinner's prayer, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me because I do not know where I'm going. I do not know anything that I'm going to do. I don't know nothing. Only thing I do know is that I need something else in my life. I'm empty. I'm completely empty. My body is hollow. I don't have no feelings at all." And I said, "All you got to do is just ask him to save you. That's all you got to do is ask. He's given us the easy part. But he took on the hard part.
We see the word in the scripture that I read. The word standing. And I believe it was mentioned twice in here. The first time it was mentioned here in verse 55. It says, and the Lord saw the glory of God. He seen his Shekinah glory. And what's that Shekinah glory? That is the glory of God that's come down in such a way that, hey, we just might as well give up. Because we can't go nowhere. We can't do nothing. Why? Because he has failed upon the service. That's the same type of Shekinah glory that he spoke about in the tabernacle. When the individuals once a year had to go in into the tabernacle and then had to go into the Holy of Holies. But they could not go in if they had one speck of sin. One speck of sin. It may not look no bigger than that piece of dust right there. But they couldn't enter in because it had sin. Even the priest, he couldn't go in if he had sin on his life. Because his garment, what was his garment? His garment was, he had the garment there, and he had the 12 tribes on his breastplate there and everything, and he had the hat on and all of that. And then, at the bottom of his robe or gown, what you want to call it, we used to call them tassels, but what they were then, it was bells. Bells was at the bottom of his garment, all around. And the bell would not even move, the bell wouldn't even ring if he didn't have no sin on his life. But before he went into the Holy of Holies, he was all dressed out, and they placed the bells on him and everything. But that won't end. That won't all of it. Then they had to take that rope. They had to take that rope. And I believe that rope was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. They had to take that rope, and they had it tied around his waist. See, the individuals outside, the only thing they could go by was what Moses had said, the priest had said. If he had sin in his life or not. Just like today, that's the only thing that people can say. They have to say it themselves. I don't know what kind of sin they may have in their life. You don't know what kind of sin that I may have in my life if I've got it or if you've got it. You don't know. But see, the Lord God Almighty, He does. He does. That was the reason that he had to be tied and had that rope going around him. So when he went into the tabernacle, he had already offered up the blood. He had already offered up the ram, the goat, and everything. The sacrifice. But when he went inside, tabernacle, he could go in where it had all the other furniture at. Just think about it. He was thinking about going in to the Holy of Holies. He wanted to go into the Holy of Holies because he wanted to experience the Shekinah glory that would fall from heaven. But he got everything else passed, done. He got everything else done. And I believe that he walked all the way up to the entrance to the Holy of Holies. And I believe he went to touch the entrance there, the cloth, or what you want to call it, to touch it to where he could go into the Holy of Holies. But he had sin on his life, and he failed. He failed. Well, when he failed, what happened? Everybody around heard the bells. They heard the bells. And the bells was a symbol of sin. So what did they do? They had to take him and they had to drag him out. Nobody else, they couldn't go in and get him. They couldn't go in and get him. They had to pull him and drag him out.
I believe that's, we can look at it in a way like we must go into the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. Why? I don't want to see them die and go to hell. I know what hell has to offer them. They think they may know, but they don't really know. And they think that hell today, and what they're going, and what they believe and what hell is going to be like, is like, well, when I go to hell, then that's going to be it. I'm going to just be laying right there, and that's going to be it. I'm not going to have nothing else to do. One thing they don't realize is in hell, they're going to try their very best to take their own life. They're going to try to hang themselves. They're going to try to cut themselves. They're going to try to take their own life. Why? Because hell, and they're going to live there for eternity. As long as we're living in heaven, and what does he say? We're going to be living with our Lord and Savior for eternity. What is eternity? Forever. What is forever? Eternity. What is it for? What is forever? It's forever. You cannot get nothing else out of it. That's it. It's forever. And we must teach the people. We can say that, and we can say it in a way to where the people can understand it in a way. And we don't have to do it with any kind of anguish or anything like it. We can do it, and we can tell them with love. That's what Jesus done. That's what the Holy Spirit done to me. The Holy Spirit came to me with love. And he said, Donnie, he said, do you want to spend eternity with God? Or do you want to spend eternity in hell? Where you'll never die. And you'll never die when you go to heaven. Just think about it. But when you're in heaven, ooh, we glory to God, hallelujah. You talking about having a ball, having a good time. It's some people there that's going to be there that I ain't never seen them raise their hand. I ain't never seen them shout. But I'll tell you one thing. They're going to shout then. They're going to raise the hand. And they're going to say, thank you, Jesus. What we need to do, we need to start practicing here. Because, you know, just think about it now. The next few months is coming up where a whole lot of churches are going to get the young people together. And they're going to get other people in the church together. And they're going to try to remember scripture and stuff and the way they can put on a Christmas pageant, or they can put on a Christmas play, or whatever they want to call it. What do they have to do for it? You think that they just, indeed some of the Sunday before Christmas, we going to have the Christmas pageant. When are we going to start practicing for? So we're not going to practice for it. We're not going to practice for it. That's where people are today. They don't practice in what they believe in God. That's what we're here for. I'm here to practice. So when I go home, that I won't be somebody just all dread. But I tell you what, I don't believe there's going to be a dry eye there. Because we're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that I can continue serving. I do. And I know that I can fall just like anybody, any other individual I hear. Because I have flesh. This is the carnal man, which represents the flesh. Thank God that he lives on the inside. Yes. He lives on the inside of me, and not only just the Lord Jesus, but the Comforter. Did you realize if I had to, just let's imagine, that I had three individuals here that I could actually see. Right over here standing on the left is God the Father. One that's in the middle is the Lord Jesus Christ on the right hand of God the Father. And then over here is a precious, precious Holy Spirit. Did you realize that the Father is not going to comfort me if I'm going through a situation, if I'm going through a problem? The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to comfort me. The Holy Spirit's going to comfort me first. Why? Because that is His duties. That is His duties. That's the duty that God had called Him to do. To be our comforter. And to lead us and to guide us into the ways. The Lord Jesus Christ is to teach us what the Word of God is saying to us as we read it. And then you have God the Father. He's there. And when the Holy Spirit comes and when the Lord Jesus comes to Him, they're going to come and say, well, Father, Donnie, he just kind of messed up today. Said, you know, and he ain't even come to him and ask for forgiveness. And the Father turns to his son and says, son, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He says, I'm talking about one of your children. I'm talking about Donnie. That lives in Danville, Virginia, on 465 Jenny Lane, the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. He has sinned today, and he hasn't come and asked for forgiveness. That's the one I'm talking about, Father. Oh, the Father said, forget about that. Just forget about it. Only thing I see on his life is the blood. That's all the Father can see is the blood that has been applied to my life. I thank God for that. That it was the blood. Still the blood today. If any individuals want to come any other way, they'll never make it in. They have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ
and trust in Him.
And to have His blood apply to their life. It's the only way they can ever get to heaven. But I believe also is another step for them to take. They don't need to just stop right there. I believe that an individual, and I do, I wholeheartedly believe this, and if people, you know, they say, well, I can't quite go along with it. Well, that's okay. But that's what the Lord has spoke to me about.
But you know, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, after we're saved, they say, Lord, would you please, any way you can, to be the Lord of my life? And when He becomes the Lord of your life, then you're going to want to do everything you can to please Him and not to please self. A whole lot of time we please self. We want to please self. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand with you. And Lord, that you can help us along the way. And Father, we pray, God, tonight. Father, for everyone that showed up tonight, Lord Jesus, that you will bless them this week. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll give them souls for their labor, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we know that they labor for you. Lord, because I can sense it. And Father, even sometimes my own self, I question why. That the reason I stay on this subject, but I believe that that's a subject that we need to stay on. We need to always remember that you first loved us. And that we could share your love with someone else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.